A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So we come to our reflection. Please take a seat. We come to our reflection on our gospel reading. I just wanted to set the scene before we stand for our gospel reading. So as we think about it, we're reminded how the gospel according to Mark is written at a very fast pace indeed. It's urgent and immediate. It's chapter 3 and Jesus is in trouble, big trouble. Just imagine yourself in this scene. I'm trying to set the scene that we're going to enter into this gospel reading. It's time for the tables to turn back then, in that time of oppression, Roman rule, injustice, poverty, spiritual and physical. And Jesus is making waves, big waves. And we can also think about Jesus' family, because they're included in this gospel reading for today. Have imagined what, I wonder what they were like. Jesus' family. Perhaps they had a really good carpentry business. They were faithful and they went to, they worshipped their God. They're members of the local community. Perhaps Jesus himself was a really good carpenter. And now he's left home. Off he's gone. He's begun to travel around like a vagabond, drawing in crowds with his teaching, his healing, his casting out demons. I wonder what it would have been like for his family. With all that going on, all this gospel took place in a very small space, in real terms. And you imagine that the people picked up and got enthused by what Jesus was offering, about the amazing man that he was. There was something about him, and we know what that is now, but they just wouldn't know then. And they were just compelled to follow them. But people like Peter, the fisherman, who was compelled to follow Jesus, you imagine that he was the only breadwinner, maybe. So off he goes, he follows and leaves a family with no income, no social services, no social security. And that happened a lot. People followed Jesus, but the chaos that was probably left behind is one that we don't often focus about. We focus about the fairy story, you know, and the hope and the charisma of Jesus, and we that's true. But there was an underlying chaos going on at that time. They were pioneers, and It was not just the scribes and Pharisees that would not be happy with Jesus, and probably included in his family, but they loved him and they'd be caring for him and they'd be really worried for him. And so the scribes are coming up from Jerusalem and they're going to sort him out. They're not having it, all this teaching. It's undermining their authority, and they've had it cushy probably. He's not having it. So what do? They tell everyone he's mad. When someone doesn't agree with you, what do? You make up a story. They might have believed it was true, to be fair, if they didn't get him. But we know who Jesus is, don't we? We know that Jesus is the Son of God, the Saviour of the world. He's standing before them, rich in God's presence and hope for a way to peace and justice and love. And they're denouncing him as mad. And it is easy to distort things when they don't go the way we want them to, or it's not the story we want. And I don't think that that's actually true just for scribes and Pharisees. In fact, I'm pretty good at it sometimes myself. And it's on this setting that I want to now read the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. And think about the players, the people in it, the scenes. Think about Jesus. Think of their situations. Where would you be coming from in that story? Please stand for the gospel. The crowd came together again so that Jesus and his companions could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can then be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an internal sin. For they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.' Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent him and called him. A crowd was sitting around Jesus, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you.' And he replied, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated now. So they denounced Jesus as mad. Even his family were being swayed to agree. But he wasn't mad, was he? We know that. Jesus was opposing Satan, that personification of all that is dark and evil. He was showing a people a way out from that through spiritual, emotional, and physical healing. And as Paul shows us in the first reading, that beautiful reading, from an openness to the healing, that Jesus can offer us in the power of the Holy Spirit comes the ability to forgive, to reconcile, to come together and create new family and new community bonds between people that know no boundaries. Jesus was trying to share the good news of a more loving and peaceable way, to show them that nothing is beyond repair or redemption. But by denouncing and slandering the Holy Spirit, they're blocking off that potential, that pathway that leads to that forgiveness and reconciliation and peace. That's the deal. It's not what God will do to them, it's what they would do to themselves by not opening to the love that is waiting in grace to be theirs, to be received, to be revealed. No matter how religious or godly they claim to be, the scribes and the Pharisees could not see that new way for one reason or another. And as I said earlier, isn't this a good illustration of how we can miss out on the presence of God? Perhaps our hearts can be closed to new ideas, new ways. It's frightening to let go of things that we understand and that have been familiar to us. It's frightening how a new message can seem to erode all that we once held dear and true, and miss a point that one can fall alongside the other. It isn't an either or, but it can go alongside each other in whatever we think about. New patterns of living, new patterns of doing school, new patterns of working, family life, church life, church community, community life. And isn't that something that is happening now as we're coming through the pandemic lockdown trauma that we've experienced, the journey, and we're rising out with so many new changes that are going on? The new ways and ideas that are emerging that might threaten the old norms and the secure patterns. And it's perfectly understandable. I bet there is something within each of us that can tell that story in our lives or in our worldview. But with Jesus at the center, he's saying to all of them back then and to us now, don't worry, new isn't necessarily wrong or bad or not good for us. It's just new and it's scary. He's urging them to listen and follow him onto better and brighter days. And we can be encouraged that Jesus is at the center of where we are today and encouraging us to do the same. And if we're open to that, even though it might seem cloudy and dark right now in our worlds, in our lives, for one reason or another, even if we can't see the brighter days or even the hope of brighter days, we can receive the comfort that will come knowing that we're not alone, that we're being encouraged through a loving spirit to keep going, to hang on. And we're all being encouraged to step out and open our minds to new ideas and new ways that will see us through the times that we're living in today. And of course, there are modern day stumbling blocks. I mean, social media for one, you know, it gets a bad press, doesn't it? But there's been a lot of blessing out of social media in these recent 18 months. People have found community. They've found new ways of being in church where they've not been able to be before, for example, on our own doorstep. That's been the experience. Community projects and support online and through social media, community spirit, new patterns of life offering richer and work-life balances because of all the technical gifts that we've received. God desires our well-being and our flourishing. And he's showing us how that can happen in its broadest sense through this story with Jesus. trying to show people new ways. And he's trying to show us new ways, and anything that's come to us that we haven't grabbed, it's almost like God is saying, look, have a look at it. I know it's tough, but have a look at it. God will not bring us a bad penny. And anything that isn't of God will fall away. But anything that is, and it's going to be for our flourishing and nourishing in any context, will stay. And we think, oh, wow. I don't know about you, I didn't like Zoom at the beginning. I remember Paul and I fumbling around trying to know how to use it. But wow, it's amazing now. I can see people that I wouldn't see for 1 year to next now on Zoom. I never thought about that. It's found its place now, and it's not an either or anymore. It's an alongside. Family and community boundaries are merging as we're being called to be brought together as one by being members of God's overarching family, community, community of communities, a community of companionship, which is, I love that expression. So here's an idea for this week. So this is an all age service. So I'm going to ask this question with the anticipation that there wouldn't be many children, but who has a Jenga thing at home? You know, those building blocks. Does anyone have that? Or a pack of cards? Yeah, Wendy would. Well, I invite you, and if you're online, if you've got one at home, I would just invite you to have, when you're having a cup of tea on your table, to build the Jenga. You build these blocks and then you have to pull them out, don't you, and see how long it stays up. But try and build a tower with whatever you want to, and build it as high as you can. And as you are, or just imagine you're doing it in a meditation, and ask, how can I be encouraging this week? And how can I be encouraged? What can I do to make a difference in my community, in my church community, in my life, for others? What part can I play? And who's built me up recently? And how can I do that for someone else? Building up, building community, not just limiting our family circle, but going wider and broader. And Bishop Joe wrote that John Wesley is reported to have said that the purpose of preaching is to disturb the comfortable and comfort the disturbed. So I think we've had a little bit of that in here, in this sermon today. But while we've had much disturbance, there's also that comfort. We are on the right track. Even at St. Peter's in our church life, we're on the right track. And we're still here gathering. So I would just encourage us all to not be afraid of anything new, to embrace it all as one, and trust that Jesus will show us the way, and he will guide us in all aspects of our lives. Amen. Let us just pray. Dear God, thank you for our beautiful world, and thank you for all who make it a better place, for encouragement, their care and their love. And we are sorry for times we've not built a better world, when we've pulled down, when we've had chance to build up. But we thank you that with you there is always another chance. Help us to build rather than to destroy, and love rather than to hate. And in doing this, we will walk closer to you and with you. Amen.